We're in Psalm number 145 tonight. Psalm 145, just some thoughts that were on my mind about the Lord, really. Sometimes it's good to stop and contemplate our God, isn't it? It's good to stop and think of who our God is, how great He is. You know, today's culture, it seems the farther along we go here and the more you deal with people of today, mainly all they're looking for are problems and complaints. They're just always looking for a problem somewhere, always looking for something to complain about. You know, I tell the young people at school all the time is that if you're around other young people that all they can do is complain, then find some new friends. They're not going to do anything good for you in your life. Or, you know, dealing with maybe people out at the ballpark. My wife and I are about to take that Yak Facebook page and just throw it up in the air and shoot it with a shotgun or something, because people are all about themselves and they'll complain and make statements about all kinds of things that they don't even know the whole story about, and they go on and on. Halftime, we just ignore it and let them say what they're going to say. It doesn't matter. But that's the way people are today. We're always looking for things to complain about or something to find a problem with. You know, people like to be victimized. I got to be the victim. Poor me, and those kind of things. The snowflake society, we won't get into that because I'll never get off of it. But everyone wants to find the negatives about everything. But as Christians, you know, the Bible tells us things like to abound with thanksgiving, rejoicing evermore, and having an attitude toward the Lord of being thankful. And in other words, you can either look for all the negatives and complain about them in the Christian life, or you can look at what the Lord's done, and that overwhelms you with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise and gratitude to the Lord. And you know, in the Psalms, there's many different passages and different categories, different authors that talk about how to praise the Lord and how we should and why we should praise the Lord. And I was just looking through Psalm 145, and several things come up here. And I just want to begin in verse number 3, and then we're going to look at four specific verses in this passage. You know, one way to have a heart of thanksgiving is to have a heart of praise. Look for what God has done and look at who God is, and let's let that direct our life, our attitude, and our praise instead of a negativity. Look at what we have instead of what we don't have. Maybe we've heard that before. Look at what we do have in God instead of what we don't have. You know, people that get discontent or begin to complain, I wish I had this, and I wish I had this over here, and these other people over here have it so much better. Well, look at what you do have in the Lord and have a heart of praise. So praise God for what He does and who He is instead. And this is what we're going to talk about here tonight. In Psalm 145, verse number 3, just simply says, we know this verse, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness, there's three times there that word great is alluded to there, and His greatness is unsearchable. You can try, it says, one generation will praise thy works to another. You can pass it down for generation after generation after generation, trying to search the greatness of God, and you'll barely touch the surface there. You'll barely go in just a little bit. Great is our Lord, and greatly to be praised. Just a couple of the verses that you can listen to before we get into this passage about why it is good for us to give praise. Psalm 75 says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Here the psalmist in 75 is saying, we're going to praise the Lord. We need to make it an act of giving praise, of contemplating in our mind what our God has done and giving praise to Him. Let me read another verse to you. I just jotted a few down from the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 records David, verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day His salvation. Well, we're part of all the earth, aren't we? We should be showing forth the salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Verse 27, glory and honor are in His presence. Verse 28, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I know we hear verses like this all the time. We make little phrases about, well, we're here to worship the Lord today and, you know, praise the Lord for this. But let's stop and not make it shallow and trite. Let's really think about how I need to have my mind and heart focused on who God is so that I can praise Him. One other verse, you say, well, those verses are in the Old Testament. You know, those are for the Jews or another time. I don't like them when people talk like that. But just to drive that point home, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving praise to Him, our singing, whatever it is, giving praise unto our Lord. And to think here in Psalm 145, great is the Lord. Why is the Lord great? There's four verses here in this passage that use the Lord is, and then fill in the blank. The Lord is this. The Lord is this. And I want to look at those four different passages tonight in Psalm 145 so that we know who the Lord is and why it is worthy and necessary for us to give praise to the Lord. Yes, even if we're going through a difficult time, even when things don't seem to be working out in our life the way they should be, the Lord still is worthy to be praised because of just who He is. You know, if you were going through, maybe the Lord has put you through a severe trial. Maybe you lose everything. And maybe, you know, maybe there's cancer or people going through difficult situations. You know, despite what goes on here, you can't take these four things away from God. That's the point here. It's who God is, no matter what's going on here on the earth and troubles that you may be going through and sicknesses and hardships or spiritual battles. The Lord is still these things in heaven. And He still has a character that is worthy of praise. And those are the things we want to see tonight. First of all, in verse number 8. Boy, this one is one that we should gladly praise the Lord for. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. You want to talk about the complete opposite of the human race. We are not gracious. We are not compassionate. We are fast to anger. And we are not of great mercy typically. That's the fallen human race. But our God is totally distinct from that. He is gracious. Just the word in the Hebrew has the same idea of what we consider grace to be. Of God giving to people what those people don't deserve. That's God's grace. It is something that goes in line as well in the Hebrew with His free choice. God just chooses to be gracious. He doesn't look down and say, well, that Christian down there is working really hard and trying really hard to do what's right. You know, I'm going to give them some grace here just because they're really working hard. No, God just chooses in His own free will to give grace. He's gracious to us, His people. He's also compassionate, or has the idea of showing pity to those in need. Kind of maybe the idea of if you see orphaned children or a helpless child or something, and your heart goes out to that child and you have compassion on them and you want to go and help them and be a comfort to them. He's also slow to anger. He's long-suffering. You know, the Lord has every right to be angry. The Lord has every right to look at us in our sin and just judge us in anger and wrath. His wrath pour out upon sin. He has every right to do that, but He is slow to anger. And of great mercy, He withholds that wrath. He withholds that judgment that we deserve. And in its place, He pours out grace and compassion, helping those that can't help themselves. And by the way, when it comes to salvation and pleasing God, we can't do that. We can't save ourselves from the eternal price of sin. We can't do that. But God has been compassionate and He has poured out His grace upon us. And just to read these verses and to consider, this is what our God is. So even if I'm going through such a terrible time on earth, guess what? The Lord is gracious. That in and of itself is enough for me to be able to lift up my eyes in troublesome situations and praise the Lord's name. Now look at verse number 9. Not only is the Lord is gracious, verse number 9, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all His works. His mercy guides the works that He does. So our Lord is good. His overall goodness to that which He has created. You know, the Lord doesn't want to destroy His creation. The Lord doesn't have it out for you. You know, we got these people that think the Lord is just ready to, He's out there with the shotgun ready to just blast and boom. He loves His children. Now He will go after sin. He has to. He's a holy God. But He loves His creation. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 45. It's a verse from the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just read that real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. The Lord is good to all. In other words, it isn't something that we have to try to earn His goodness. Chapter 5, verse number 45 says, the Lord, which is the Father which is in heaven, that maketh His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The Lord is good to all. He provides benefits in creation to all. But you know, as God's people, we do get a little extra, don't we? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God. They're called according to His purposes. So He's good to all, but you know, He's especially good to His people. And He lets those tender mercies just guide His works. Again, we are down here. We may not see, Lord, what in the world are You doing? Why am I going through this situation that is just very difficult? It's just another one of His works, and we have to believe and trust that it's His mercy that is guiding that work. It's guiding it. So let's look up in the mess that we're in sometimes, and let's praise the Lord anyway. He is good to all. Go down to verse number 17. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is good. Now look at verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord does what is right to do. This is a complete, again, contrast to humanity. The Lord is the standard for what truth is. He's the standard for what is right. And that is the definition of His character. He's righteous and holy in all of His ways. He's separate from sin. He's consistent in what He does. He does what is right. You know, we can praise the Lord for that too, that He's gracious, that He's merciful, that He's good to all, that He's righteous, that we have a standard. It's God. You know, the Lord could have just left us in a state of confusion down here without getting, you know, He didn't have to give us His word, but He did. He gave us His word. He gave us truth. He gave us the standard that we need to live by, and we can know what is right and wrong. We can know how to walk with our Lord. We can know how to approach our Lord, that He is gracious and good, and that He is righteous in all of His ways. He's holy. He's separated from sin, and He does it in all of His works. We ever stop and think about that for the Lord, of what He is, and praise His name because of that? We're going quickly. Verse number 18. You know, verses, the first few, the Lord is gracious, the Lord is good, the Lord is righteous. That is His character. But now this one in verse number 18 kind of relates to me a little bit. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. It's not that He's good and gracious and righteous just up in heaven far off away, and I can't know anything about that. No, He's good and He's gracious and He's righteous and He is nigh. He's near all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. He is near when we call. When we do it in truth or in an upright heart is the idea there. The Lord is available. Yes, we can praise Him for His graciousness. We can praise Him in verse number 9 for His goodness to all. We can praise Him for His righteousness and His holiness. But oh, what an overwhelming praise that God that is righteous and holy is right here nigh to us. He's not far off and ethereal, way up there, so transcendent that we can't approach Him. I love this verse in the Bible, the book of Hebrews. You'll recognize the verse as soon as I begin to read it. Chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? How can we do that? Because the Lord is nigh. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, our Lord is gracious and compassionate. You look back over the history of your life, perhaps, and you see time after time where the Lord just came in and fixed the mess. That isn't God, He's good at that, isn't He? We get in there in like a tornado sometimes. We mess things all up and twist things all around, and we leave things in pieces, and the Lord just comes in with His grace. And it's like the glue that puts it all back together. The Lord's gracious, despite us. He's compassionate. And we look at those things, and we praise the Lord for that. He is good to all, and He's righteous and holy, but yet He is right here nigh to us. To all that call upon Him, He will answer. Look at verse number 19. This is the Lord going above and beyond. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will hear their cry. He will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. Now look at verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. It's one thing to know the Lord's gracious, the Lord's good, the Lord is righteous, the Lord is nigh, and He answers my prayer, and He helps me, and He can save me in trouble. But is my mouth going to speak the praise of the Lord? Is my life going to speak the praise of the Lord? Or are we shy or bashful perhaps about it? One of the hard things to do sometimes is testimony time, isn't it? Sometimes you're kind of quiet and waiting for someone else to go maybe, or sometimes we do them in Thanksgiving time in a chapel with the school, the young people, and sometimes it's a few of them are a little shy or bashful to say something. But the point is, David is saying that if our heart understands truly who the Lord is, that it doesn't matter what's happening on the earth, our heart should still be overwhelming with praise. Because what happens here on earth and the situations we go through does not change who God is. And I'm thankful for that. He's gracious. He's good. He's righteous. And He is near. So our response should be, let's speak His praise. I encourage you to. I don't know what situations maybe are going on in your life, or maybe family members, or different problems that may rise up, or physical issues, and there's can be hard and trying times. I've been thinking about Eva's dad lately. That it's difficult for her and Roger to care for him, and it's a tough time, and you got to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord, as I know they do. But people go through difficult situations and scenarios, and the Lord doesn't change. Now, isn't that a comfort? Isn't that a blessing? His grace is still there to just pour right in. He is a merciful, good, gracious, and righteous God. Let's let our mouth speak the praise. Even in difficult times here on earth, He doesn't change. And we can have a heart of praise for that. Father, we thank You for our brief time in Your Word tonight. We thank You for who You are. Lord, too many times we take it for granted of just kind of sitting back and thinking, well, God's just going to always come through, or God's just there whenever I need Him. No, You're there all the time, and You are nigh. You're near. Lord, we thank You for that. That You're a gracious and a good and a merciful God. Lord, You're a God that's righteous. And I pray that our mouth will speak Your praise. That, Lord, even if things are tough here on the earth, You don't change. And we thank You for the grace and the mercy that You bestow on us. Lord, lift our hearts up in this. Help us to be encouraged, Lord, encouraged to also continue and increase our praise for the God who does all things well. Now, Lord, bless our communion time. We look forward to this as we contemplate again the work of our Savior on the cross of Calvary. It'll be a blessing and a comfort and an encouragement to our hearts as well. In Christ's name, amen.